Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to continue our devotional lessons based on the Gospel of John. But before we begin today, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you for this opportunity to open up thy very words. Father, we pray your blessing upon our devotional study today based on the Gospel of John. We pray that the saint of God listening would be encouraged, strengthened, and grow in the knowledge and the grace of their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Father, lest we forget the lost sinner listening today that's never trusted Jesus Christ, shed blood, and nothing else to save them, we pray that this would be the very day that they call from a heart of faith, believing by faith that it was Jesus Christ, shed blood, and nothing else that paid for all their sins, past, present, and future, and to secure them a home in heaven. Father, we will rejoice with the angels in heaven over one sinner that repenteth this day. We commit this time into thy hands. Have your will in your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today's devotional study, as we begin, is entitled Power to Become the Son of God. Power to Become the Son of God. Let's turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And we want to look at verses 11 and 12, and then we'll begin our lesson. John, chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. A soldier stood in a worship service during the war to give his testimony. He said he left home an infidel, but left a praying wife. He said a week ago he received a letter from her, and she was still concerned about his soul and desired to know if he still held on to his old views. He said he sat down and in bitter words wrote that he still believed as before. But when he finished, he couldn't seal the letter. He wrote another, less bitter. He couldn't seal it. And then started another, even less bitter. But he said, such was the power upon my heart that I fell upon my knees and begged forgiveness before God that I could finish the letter, saying that Christ had forgiven my sins and I am rejoicing in her Savior. Man has conquered much in this age through power. But there is no power equal to God's power to transform a sinner into a son of God. And our scripture reveals this power. As we just read, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Let's first look at the number. In our verses we read, but as many. You see, God puts no limitations or classifications upon being one of his children, but opens the door to all saying, but as many. In John 3:16, we read, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, we read the following. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And then in Revelation chapter 22, Revelation 22 verse 17, we read the following. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You see, but as many, rich or poor, as many, learned or unlearned, as many, weak or strong, as many, good or bad, just as many, without limitations, can be the children of God. Now let's look at, we looked at the number, let's look at the need. We read in our passage these words that we began with in John chapter 1, verses 11 and 12. We read, but as many as received him, but many as received him. You see, the power to become a son of God comes through one source, and that is Jesus Christ. In John chapter 14, John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says the following to Thomas. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The need is to receive him as Lord of your life. For those who acknowledge him as Lord were made his own. For example, the adulterous woman confessed him as Lord. She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. The thief on the cross confessed him as Lord. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And then Paul, the apostle, confessed him as Lord. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? We've looked at the number, but as many. We've looked at the need, but as many as received him. Now let's look, number three, at the nature. The nature. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. The very nature of God is to give. The greatest gift ever given to this world was his Son. You see, salvation is a gift of God. In the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse number 20, the apostle Peter said to Simon the sorcerer, thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. In the prophet Isaiah chapter 55, Isaiah 55 and verse number 1, we read the following. Ho, every one that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat, yea, come, buy wine and milk without money, without price. And who can forget what it says in Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23, Romans 6 verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, if it costs money to be a child of God, the rich would be saved and the poor would be lost. But thank God, it is without price. So far in our lesson, we have looked at the number, but as many, the need, but as many as received him, the nature, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And fourth and finally, let's look at the name, the name. We read, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. From the very beginning, and even until now, there is something special about that name. In Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1 and verse 21, we read the following. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Then in Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 4, in verse number 12, we read the following. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. You see, it pleased God to send his son. It pleased God to let him die on a cross. And it pleases God to save sinners through his son. Before we move on to our next devotional lesson here in the Gospel of John, let me leave you with this thought. Just so simple, sinner friend, that if you will realize that you are lost and that Jesus will save you, you can believe on him and be saved. All right, then. Our next devotional study based on the Gospel of John comes from John chapter 1, verse 18. John chapter 1, verse 18. Let's read verse 18 in the Gospel of John chapter 1. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. How sincerely have men longed to see God, but they have longed for the impossible. The scripture we just read says, no man hath seen God at any time. It is precious to take the word and go back yonder atop Mount Sinai when Moses so desired to see God. Yet, he only got a glimpse of his glory. It is precious to read of the dedication of Solomon's temple and somehow visualize the glory of God that filled the place that day. Or maybe visit by the word down by the river of Kabar as God's glory was so real. Yet those holy men of old never saw and never could see God. Yet how blessed is the word that says the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. You see, God was revealed in every phase of the life of Jesus while on earth. In John chapter 14, verses 8 and 9, we read the following. Philip saith unto him, Lord, Shew us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, I have been so long time with you, yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. It was the great privilege for those who lived in his days upon the earth to see Jesus. For 33 years he dwelt here, walked among them, performed miracles, and preached. He was crucified, was buried, rose the third day. 40 days later, he ascended back to the Father. There are only two accounts of anyone seeing him after that. The first one is Stephen. Stephen, when tried by the council and condemned, he was gnashed on. But the Bible says, but he, that's Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. And then the second account is Paul. The Apostle Paul, relating his own experience, said this, and last of all, he was seen of me as one born out of due time. The title of our devotional lesson is Declare Him. Declare Him. This world has not seen Jesus. Therefore, the only way for him to be known is for us to declare him. Let's look at some things, some thoughts on that. The first one is, his followers declare him to be the rock for the sinking soul. Again, his followers declare him to be the rock for the sinking soul. In Psalm 89, verse 26, we read this, he shall cry unto me, thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. You see, without him, life is a sinking existence. But he is a solid rock that has been tested, tried, and has become the chief cornerstone. Second, his children declare him to be the rose for the weary servants. His children declare him to be the rose for the weary servants. In Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse number 1, we read this. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. The rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys were wild flowers growing in plenty, therefore available to all. To walk among them was to be showered with the sweetness of the flower. So it is when the servant of God gets weary. He can just wallow in the fellowship of the Son of God. Thirdly, his warriors declare him to be the refuge for battered soldiers. His warriors declare him to be the refuge for battered soldiers. Psalm 46, verse number 1, we read this. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. You see, my dear friend, the battle gets too hard for the soldier of the cross, and he would fall beneath the load, except he finds that refuge in the Lord. There he finds new strength. There he finds a very present help. Fourthly, his church declare him to be the revelation for believing saints. His church declare him to be the revelation for believing saints. In Revelation chapter 22, verse 7, Jesus says, "Behold, I come quickly." You see, he is going to reveal himself one day when all things are ready. Then we shall see him as he is. In the first epistle of John, chapter 3, verse number 2, we read this: "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Before we move on to our next passage, I want to leave you with this thought. He has been declared in word. He has been declared by preaching. He has been declared in the lives of believers. I ask you, my dear friend, listening today, have you personally accepted him? Now let's move on to John chapter 1. We're in the Gospel of John chapter 1, and we're doing some devotional studies based on the Gospel of John. And the next passage we want to look at is verses 35 to 39. John chapter 1, verses 35 and 39. So let's look at and read together verses 35 to 39 in the Gospel of John chapter 1. "And again the next day, after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and he saith unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being an interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he saith unto them, Come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour." Our passage that we're looking at, our devotional studies entitled, "What Seek Ye?" What seek ye? John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness and saying, "Repent and be baptized." They said, "Who is this one? Are you the Christ, or Elias, or a prophet?" John answered, "Neither. But there cometh one after me, whose shoe latches I am not worthy to unloose." The next day Jesus appeared, and John said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Again the next day, John with two of his disciples, when Jesus passed, and he said to the two, "Behold the Lamb of God." These two followed the Lord. And when Jesus saw them, he asked, "What seek ye?" They called him Master and asked, "Where dwellest thou?" Jesus invited them to come and see. And when they came, they abode there. We should want to be a John the Baptist to every unsaved soul. We should be pointing men and women, boys and girls, to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. While we point them to the Lamb of God, we should pray for the Holy Spirit to put a desire in their heart to follow Him. I want us to look at four truths. There are four great truths found in these verses that should open the door for any soul seeking to know the truth. The first one is a sincere question in verse 38 of John chapter 1. That sincere question is, where dwelleth thou? Where dwelleth thou? When Jesus asked the question, what seek ye? These two were sincere in asking, where dwelleth thou? While they may be difficult to find, there are many today who have a desire to know the Lord. There is a longing in that empty heart to find the answer. Their question, like these two, is, where can I find Him? You see, we are living in a day of doubt and unbelief. When man refuses to accept anything unless he can figure it out, see it, or feel it. Because of this situation, the unsaved are asking, where is God? How can I find the answer? Again, I remind the listener, we're looking at four great truths as found in these verses. We saw, first of all, a sincere question, where dwelleth thou? Second of all, we have a sacred invitation in verse 39. He saith unto them, come and see. It was a joy to these two when the master stopped and asked them the question, what seek ye? But more glorious was the words he invited them to come and see. My dear friend, our Lord is still gracious today, for He still bids those who desire to know Him to come and see. What grace! What a privilege to know He still calls those who are without life, who are without peace, to come and receive life. You see, God knows that every unsaved person is behind a barrier of doubt, doubting that God will save them, or if they made a profession, could they live it, or some problem that couldn't be solved. This is why He bids you to come and just see what the Lord can do. The psalmist said this, taste the Lord and see that He is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. See, He offers to everyone to come. Won't you come? Won't you believe in your heart today that Jesus shed His precious blood, and it's only through His blood that you can be saved? Well, that's all the time we have on the pastor's study. We'll continue our devotional lesson. We'll finish it up on whom, what seek ye. Next time we meet on the pastor's study, this is Brother Gino Cassieri. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me today on the pastor's study. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you, and good day.